What is your superpower?
I'd probably say my creativity.
Knowing nerdy trivia.
My superpower is being a good listener.
Devising a million questions.
Helping people.
Making people laugh.
My superpower is that I'm determined and never give up.
Welcome to Voices of the Community. Mayor Sam's Breaking Barriers podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Harrison Lane, along with my co-host, Aaron Sherm, director of Maristem. How are you doing today, Aaron?
Good, Harry. How are you?
I'm great. I cannot wait to introduce our guest for today. We have a guest. The first guest is Maristem's work skills manager. He's also the director of CAT, Eric Stewart. Welcome, Eric.
Thanks.
He's been working with the neurodiverse community for more than decade, almost two decades, right? Very long time. I'll ask him to inform you of what he does at Maristem and what does he do for TAP. It's pretty impressive. Eric?
Thanks for having me, guys.
Of course, absolutely.
So I came on board with Maristem about 4.5 years ago to help with the work skills team here. Harry, you know about our work skills team. You were a part of it, where we try to help any student that comes to Maristem become more job ready. There's a lot of layers to that, and love being a part of that and still get to be a part of the work skills team here. We got a pretty robust team, and Harry's on that team, so that's cool. But then we also, as you guys know, we were able to get this grant for the Transformative Autism Program, and I was able to get that going along with Harry and a couple other students here at the time. And we had the TAP was initially designed really to focus on employers. Like, an employer says, hey, I want to hire somebody with autism or neurodiversity. And we built this training to help an employer go beyond just saying, I want to do it, to really have some best practices, how to do it right. And that's still the core of what TAP is. But what we found in doing this, and Harry ended up graduating from Maristem, and then we asked him to please come back and be the co-pilot on this TAP program, which is just gangbusters now. We got employers all over that are taking the training, but we've realized, and I'm sure you can speak to it too, mm-hmm. Harry, that there's as much work that needs to be done from the job seeker side as there is from the employer side. And so this isn't anymore just about, you know, getting an employer through a training so they feel more comfortable hiring somebody who's neurodiverse. This is also a lot of real honesty with job seekers that are neurodiverse and looking at job seekers and saying, what can you do from your end to be as prepared as possible to be a great employee?
Absolutely. And I will say, don't take any offense for the job seeker, because there are companies, we tell the company how to do better, how to support you better. But it's all about you supporting the, you really have to communicate to the company. Today's theme is going to be a two-way street, working together. I do have a plug-in. All the things I mentioned will be posted below, but we're actually having a job trainer video. I think I mentioned it last time. When it's ready, we're going to post it below. A training video for the job seeker, basically. How can you ask for support in the workplace? We have a wonderful young gentleman who's acting as our job seeker. But I'll ask this question both from Maristem's program perspective and also from this Transformative Autism Program. Like, what do you see as the, it can be a challenge. Like, I don't want to say, oh, the job seeker have to, or the student have to offer, they have to do all the work. But there is some level where they are responsible, and you really can't go to the instructor, or in this case, a company. I can just think of many situations that we're in right now. You cannot go to the company and be like, you have to meet what this job seeker needs. You know, this job seeker can't make your interview if your interviews are on Tuesday. They can't do it on Tuesday. They've got this other thing. Please accommodate and make it work on Wednesday. If you're not available, if the job employer is not available on is only available on Tuesday, the job somehow they need to make it work. Like, what do you see about that, Eric? How do you see the job seeker really needing to take more responsibility in that?
I like how you're phrasing it. It is a two-way street, right? So like I said earlier, as we got this going, there are employers everywhere that truly want to be inclusive. And part of inclusion is bringing people on board that are neurodiverse and autistic. And when they go through our training And we share with them best practices. As a matter of fact, I'll share with your audience, you can go and take our training right now as a job seeker. You can take the training that we developed for employers. You go to tapautism.org, click on employer registration. So even though you're not an employer, it's okay. Click on employer registration, just do the quick little registration form, and it'll take you right through the training. And as somebody who wants to work for an employer, if you took the time to understand what's being asked of the employer to bring you in, that's going to make you better fit to go to that employer and say, I want to work with you, because you're going to understand what they're thinking you need from them. And so I strongly urge you to do it. It's only 4 20-minute modules. They're not as fun as some of the stuff you see on Netflix, but Harry, would you agree? It's pretty good training.
Absolutely.
It's pretty entertaining. So I would start with saying you could do that. But on the two-way street, it really is more than that. That the employer says, what we're sharing with the employer is, listen, you got someone with neurodiversity, and they've got certain things that they need from you as the employer to be supported. So let's just say you're somebody with neurodiversity and you have a very difficult time working with large groups of people. And so the company learns that about you, and normally they have people working with a group of 10 people at the same time, and they say to you, hey, we can modify that. We can make sure that you're never working with 10 people at a time. It's gonna be no more than 5. What we're asking of you when we say a two-way street is to recognize that that's a big compromise on the employer side, right? To say, instead of 10, I'm gonna give you an option to work with just 5 people. And we're asking you to look at that and realize that's a lot for the employer. And even if you're still a little bit uncomfortable with 5, is to ask yourself, what can I do to get as comfortable as possible working with 5 people? Because they are definitely modifying what the expectations are. That would be an example of, it's a two-way street. And we could go through, I mean, I can give 1,000 right. examples of that. I think that's what you're asking.
Absolutely. I'll also say, like, working with the job seeker, working with the job coach, or working with a job specialist, there's this understanding that if an employee, this is an issue, this is something that we deal with in this space, is just basically person-centered, which is not a problem. I love being person-centered. But very often, if an individual says, I don't want to do this, I can't do it, I won't do it, you're supposed to say, okay, and move along. The problem is that sometimes when somebody is working with a job coach or to look for a job, you know, or they're working with our job guru, Albert, one of the issues arises, they won't do it. They won't do this, they won't do that. And they're so limited in what they'll actually look for in a job that it can be kind of difficult to actually get a job. Because their search criteria is so small. I do want to bring Aaron into the conversation. We have, so please look to the last podcast for a little explanation of what the heck Meristem is and what Meristem does. And I think we'll have probably Shay Smith, our day program specialist. She's also the director of day program, dealing with the craft work that we do at Meristem. Love to have her on in the future. But we do all these things at Meristem, all these classes, and very often participation can be an issue in terms of either, oh, I attended one session in the morning, I don't feel like going in the afternoon. I do see a lot of people with, this is also true for anybody that wants a job, people with neurodiversity get winded very easily. You know, they'll do a few hours and then they're like, I need to sleep, I need to go and take a nap, you know? What do you do, Aaron, when somebody is like, I will not show up to class, I just don't, I'm going back to my dorm, we have an on-site dorm, I'm just not gonna go, and I'll make that decision based on how I feel. I've heard people say, oh, I decide at lunch if I want to attend the class after lunch. I just decide on the spot. Like, I'm that sick, I don't wanna go, I'm not going.
Yeah, it's a great question, Harry, and I think, like, one of the things that we have in our entrance criteria at Meristem is, do you want to be at Meristem? And do you understand what it means to be at Meristem, in the sense that Meristem is a program that's its ultimate goal is for you to develop greater independence. That might be, you know, being able to hold down a job or living on your own, or, you know, creating your own social life outside of, you know, physical supports or monetary supports from the state, et cetera. Like, our hope is that you can do that for yourself at some level and still get the support as needed, but really develop your capacity at that level. And so, in the case where I don't want to participate, we always at Meristem try to go above and beyond and try to figure out why, like, what is coming up? Why is it that you don't want to participate? Is it you're anxious about participating? Is it that you had a bad experience and now you're withdrawing? Is it that you're just tired that day? Is it that, you know, you found out that your grandma passed away and you're just sad? Or is it really that I simply don't want to participate in the program? To me, if it's all of the first few things that I said, then we go into a process of dialogue and communication and trying to put in place the things that you need in order to take incremental steps towards being back in class or engaging, you know, incrementally back in the program at some level. If it ultimately comes down to, I just don't want to engage in the program, then we have to have the conversation, you know, is Meristem the right program for you? Maybe there's a better place where you can go and sit in your room all day and do that. That's not what we're about at Meristem. And I think that's okay. And I think to me, this is a really good lesson in and around the two-way street for jobs. Not, you were kind of alluding to it in the sense that, you know, I have this ideal job and, you know, maybe not, but also maybe not every job is for me. And maybe not every employer can make the accommodations that, you know, that I need specifically,
right.
But there might be situations where it just aligns perfectly. And I think a piece of the two-way street is there is no situation that's not going to have some uncomfortableness. And if you have the mentality either from an employer or an employee that I'm just looking for a gig that's going to be comfortable on the whole ride, it's not a reality.
Right.
And it's really important, I think, to be willing to accept some of that. Like, it's going to be hard. It's going to be a struggle. I'm probably going to have to grow a little bit. I'm probably going to have to come up against myself a little bit. And to me, if there's good open communication, you know, I think you can find ways through that and work it out and ultimately come to the best decision for everybody involved.
Thank you. I just thought of something. This conversation can go in so many ways. I have my answer, but I'd love to hear from Eric. Eric, what would you say to a job, and it's two-way street, but it's maybe a little bit, not two-way street, but what would you say to a job seeker? So in this space, we deal with a lot of stigmatism. Somebody has had an experience, whether at another day program, at home, with the parents, just an experience. But when I'm talking to a job seeker, I often hear, oh, my last employer was a Lee, you know, or they fired me and it was all their fault and I almost wanted to sue them. I mean, they have that mentality. And so when I'm trying to help them get another job, they don't want to do it because they have, what would you say to somebody that's like, I was working for so-and-so and they were screwing me, you know,
yeah.
And I never want to work again, or the next employer or whatever.
Wow. That's a hard question, Harry. But you know, we do work with folks that have been through some pretty challenging situations in the workforce. And when we're trying to talk with you guys, we're trying to get really, really honest with you to help you. Like Aaron, you had just said something and I was like, gosh, I wish I could remember how you said it, but something about inner work. Forgot exactly how you said it.
Like, just like being willing to work, change myself or work myself.
Okay.
Just
so that, and sure. I thought, man, that's the two-way street that I'm talking about, because we know, as folks that just live in the workforce, we know from years of experience the ebb and the flow. And like Aaron said, that there's nothing that's like utopia. It's always going to be some level of difficulty. And if you're somebody who feels like you've been in a work situation to where the people that you were working for or with were entirely against you, like that's what you concluded as a result of that experience, there's a really, really good chance that that's not exactly what was going on. That there was a part of how you approached the job or a part where they were saying to you, hey, we're really open to learning you and learning how to help you. And you didn't give them the same level of openness that they were giving you. And this is what I mean by a two-way street, that if I meet you and you're autistic, and you tell me that there's a very specific way for me to talk to you. You say, hey, when you talk to me, you can't raise your voice. Don't stare at me when you talk. And when you ask me a question, you have to wait 30 seconds before you expect a response from me. If I'm willing to do all of that for you, then it's very important that you look at yourself and say, okay, if Eric's done that for me, I got to show him the same respect and make sure that after 30 seconds, I give him some sort of response that helps us move forward, as opposed to a response that says, you haven't asked me enough or you haven't done enough. And in a lot of times, Harry, we run into people where I feel like they've made the decision that it was all on everything that went wrong was everybody else's fault. Right. And I ask them to please, and they could reach out to us. You could reach out to Aaron because he's like a pro at it, right? Like, how do you actually take a step back and reflect on your part in the situation and learn how you can do better to meet the employer where the employer needs to be met? Because that's the two-way street. We know employers say, we're ready to meet you where you need to be met. And I know for a fact for this to work, you as the job seeker have to have that same mentality. Thank you, employer, for being ready. Now I understand I have to do the same for you. I got to do the work from my end to be ready to support you as my employer.
Here's something that I'm dealing with right now trying to help somebody get a job. So I can go and customize. We can talk to the employer about what your needs are and how best to support you. But one of the first things that I do, and I'll swing back to it if needed, but one of the first things I do when I'm looking help somebody get a job, I go over, I do actually, and I've been thinking a lot about this, I do actually workability skills. One of the most important, I say, what time are you able to start work? What time are you able to finish work? And do you understand what a part-time job is? Do you understand what a full-time job is? Because I've had people like, when I've asked that question, and I've said, you know, if you start at 8 o'clock in the morning, no, I just had this, if you start at 8 o'clock in the morning and you work until 6, that's like a, well, that's a six, that's a, you start at 8 and you work until 4:30, that's an 8-hour day. Do you understand what an 8-hour day is? And they're staring at me like, looking at me like, I'm a ghost, like, they don't understand. And so, if you don't understand it, but you go to apply for that job, but you can't actually do that, you know, you don't have the stamina, or it cannot be a trial period, right? You want to go in with the mindset, oh, I've selected these hours, I can do it, no problem. And so you really have to sit down, and I'm happy to help you, and really go over what does it mean to work a part-time job, what does it mean to work, and what have I done in the past? And I always look at their history. I'll be like, you've never done that. And please don't take offense if I ever ask for it. Conversation with your support network, whomever that be, your parents, a former, you know, your job coach, whatever. Because sometimes if you say, oh, I can work all day, no problem, they might say that's not true. You can only work a part-time job. But looking at the specific hours and the specific days that you want to work really will help you when applying for a job so that you don't apply for something you can't do. And then it becomes a not a good situation.
Also, don't take offense if Harry called you a ghost. He's trying to impart wisdom.
Yes, absolutely.
But Harry, that brings up a really interesting point. Just in thinking, like, you know, some of the things that we try to engender at Meristem, and that is understanding like the need in the community. And pretty much most businesses are trying to meet a need in the community, like. Grocery stores provide food for people to come and buy and eat. And it's really easy in the analogy for me to pit myself against the employer. But ultimately, what determines the even possibility for that business or the need or the timing for that business is the particular need. And so like when you're talking about, is it 8 hours or is it part-time or is it 5 p.m. to 2 a.m. or whatever it is, like, it's really important, I think, to remember, hey, like, I'm stepping into an industry or a particular type of business that is operating because it's meeting the needs, certain needs in a particular community, and time has been set up around those specific needs.
Right.
And so me, as an employee looking for that, it's really important for me to ask myself even the question before, to your point, I think, before I even go to employer, to understand what that employer is actually providing to the community, so that then when I step into that, I'm like, hey, you know, I want to be part of that, and I might even be more willing to adjust or be willing to be part of the time in which that business is set up because I understand the need. But if I just say, hey, like, I see you only have 8 to 8 shifts, and I would prefer to work a 6 to 10 shift. and you don't have that, I feel like you're not providing me the accommodation to work the shift that I want. That to me is coming in a one-way street where I'm saying this is what I need, and I'm not really understanding why the employer set stuff up. Now, on the other side, I could go to the employer and say, hey, I understand like you're operating this business for this need and you have these shifts. I'm wondering if there's a way that you could flex, and I think I could be helpful in this way, if you were able to flex that schedule to this for me to be of support and help you do the things that you do. That to me is me thinking, hey, here's where they're coming from, and then me even providing a solution around the needs that I have. That to me is showing the employer that I'm thinking in a two-way street just as much as I'm willing to act on a two-way street.
Right.
So I just thought that was a good point that you were talking about.
Absolutely.
Harry, can I jump on to what he
said? Absolutely.
So, Aaron, you just kind of brought up, there's a concept, I don't know how many of the job seekers that are watching know, I heard you mention it earlier, but this idea of customized employment, and you kind of brought that up, but you brought it up as an option, because just because you go to that employer and say that, the employer has the right to say, hey, that's a great idea, thank you for bringing it to me, but I'm sorry, I can't do it. But there's a lot of value in walking to an employer, like Aaron said, and say, I really studied your business. I really like what you're doing for the community. I understand why you have shifts that are done this way. I've looked at what needs to be done, and I can tell you that I can do this thing for 4 hours as good as anybody else that's doing it. But right now, 4 hours is my limit. Like, after 4 hours, I get tired. Maybe in a couple years, I'll be able to work longer shifts, but I can tell you that I can meet that need for 4 hours. And, right. and that's basically telling them, like, you can create on your own, which you can, but I do want to emphasize a big thing about what we communicate to the whole community. And this is for job seekers that are watching this that are entry level. And for those of you that have been in the business world for 10, 15, 20 years, and you're still having struggles, even though you've had success, that support network system. So Aaron just described a way of doing something. You personally might not be able to have like the courage to like go forward to an employer with that, but there's people on the planet like Harry and Aaron and Eric and people that are in your area. We can help you find them. They're professionals at helping you have that conversation with an employer. That's that whole support network system. And I hope just you using that example triggers a couple people to think about that. And that's doing your part. It's a two-way street, right? You're doing some of that work. You're not just walking up and saying, hey, hire me in this schedule that you've never hired anybody else at. Give me the job task that you've never given anybody else. You're showing them that you really care and you're trying to develop something that will absolutely benefit them. I think that's brilliant,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, like to me, I've had a couple of conversations with Meristem students in the last couple of days. Where we're just talking about challenges. And I think it's really important. I think we all acknowledge how complicated sometimes it is to just go inside myself and discern thinking from feelings or all the different ways that I've tried to protect myself from my life experience and stuff like that. So it's really important to like know and be able to own and acknowledge within yourself, this is complicated. And I think the two-way street that comes in is ultimately like a willingness to say, I want to learn this. I want to figure this out. I want to grow. I want to develop, and to have that come through in a way that draws on your circle of support to help you make those steps, because it does take a community. It does take a village to help everybody get there. And mm-hmm. I think all of us, you know, regardless of our backgrounds, I was sharing with a student today that I have dyslexia and I'm an executive director. And so I have to advocate in and around like spelling and how I skip words. And I've gotten support for that. And to ultimately to know, like I worked at knowing what I need to do in terms of slowing myself down in a given moment to write correctly, or that I always got to go and get somebody to proofread or be willing to accept the consequences when I don't, as a two-way street in and around, you know, the challenges that I have just as being an executive director.
And that's also something that I've actually seen. Eric is technically the director of this transformative program, but I've literally gotten I don't know how many documents every time he's like, can you just read this word for word? Please make sure there's not a spelling error. So it happens to the best of us. Using your support within your job also is something that can help. But another thing is, just being willing to offer that support. So this job training video that we have is also wonderful to say that we have seen many employers that are really willing and they want to work with you. They just don't know how because they don't know what supports you need. And if you have a support plan system, however, that with the company, you know, with the manager, they're willing to work with you. They just need to know, like, oh, he needs this support, or oh, he needs that support. Nothing crazy, of course, you know, and then we'll have a conversation about it.
Well, now, Harry, we're coming up on time, probably. Absolutely. Any last thoughts on two-way street that we want to ask Eric or Glean just to cover our bases?
Not that I can think of at the moment. I'll let our guest see if he has anything to add.
I would just encourage you to reach out to us, whether it's through tapautism.org or meristem.pro. Reach out to us and keep seeking help. We're here to do that. And if we don't do it directly, we can help you get connected with people. That's what we love to do, and we want to help you. So hope to hear from you. And really cool to be able to be on your guys' podcast. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and like to Eric's point, I think like we wanted this, the kind of the inspiration behind this podcast, I think, is just starting a dialogue where we break the ice, hopefully, and it helps break the ice for you. And, you know, you have the courage to reach out to TAP and see what you can do to, you know, bridge that two-way street at some level.
Absolutely.
And ultimately get a job and be successful. So that's our goal.
Thank you so much. I am going to be that person, by the way. So on next week's podcast, maybe you'll hear from a teacher at Meristem. Maybe you'll hear from an employer. Maybe you'll hear from a job seeker. You'll just have to tune in. I will not be telling you who you're going to hear from. You'll just have to tune in to find out.
Awesome. Thanks, Harry. Thank you, Eric.
Of course. Meristem, tap out.